Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the city of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Welcome, everyone, to your delayed Palazzo Prospects Power Hour. If I could talk, that'd be great, too. My name is Benjamin Chase, Big Gentle Ben on all your social medias. I'm here with my man, Robbie Baseball. Again, if I could talk.
Yeah, you are struggling out of the gate.
It's like
you hit a chopper and you're tripping over your feet on your way to first.
Yeah.
But you'll make it.
Exactly. So, Robbie, it's been a busy week, and we're going to get right into the news because we got a heavy amount of news. Not really a lot of other. We are going to talk about folks who are struggling to open the year, and that's the second half of our show here. But honestly, it's a little bit sparse. In that, as I was looking at it, guys who I really think have a chance to get up, I think because you and I looked at it and there were a handful last week.
Yep.
I think that's the handful.
And we thought, when we dive in, we're going to find a whole lot. I even combed like the MLB.com top 100 prospects, which is of course not fantasy based, but it is based in what a lot of people give fantasy value or prospect value to. And I just went through there to think like, well, there's got to be a few that I missed. And I mean, there's the obvious guy, and we'll talk about him. Of course, we'll talk about him. But it will be a show with a lot of things, top to bottom, to make everybody better at fantasy baseball. So Ben, let's kick it off with good news, bad news, or does it really matter? Manager is out. Baltimore cut Brandon Hyde. Elias and Rubenstein did not discuss it, as you have in the notes here over the weekend. Yeah.
That's odd. It just struck me as odd that you fire a manager and the GM and or owner, neither one spoke to the media all weekend about this, which is
The thank you for your service thing.
Yeah, you know? Even that would have been something, but it's
wish him well, time for a change.
I've mentioned this a number of places at every manager. And I don't care who you are as far as Hall of Fame level, whatever. Every manager has a blind spot in their ability to do the people managing part of the job. Certain type of people, they just don't manage well. And that's okay. You and I both work in a position in our day jobs where we have to manage people. There are certain types of people I know that I would struggle to manage. I'm sure you have experienced the same thing.
Absolutely.
Brandon Hyde, I think, struggles with how to give a guy an opportunity and let him work out his stuff at the big league level while also not having him fall on his face. And there is a tricky balance to that.
Mm-hmm.
And he just does not seem to manage that well. He does great with their veterans, but...
Yes.
And frankly, you've seen that with guys like, you know, Ryan O'Hearn coming there and just being a stud because he'd been through that stuff already. And so, you know, he could be addressed right away. But it's going to be interesting to see how this works because I cannot imagine that, I mean, I don't think we're getting Dick Williams in here. You know, we're not getting,
what's the move?
You know, we're not getting in a huge, awesome, great, you know, manager that's going to take him to the postseason or anything like that. It's going to be a, you know, they've got an interim manager right now. I highly doubt they're even going to make that higher in season. So this could be, unfortunately, a bit of a lost season for Orioles fans, and that really stinks because they've kind of, this was supposed to be the year to really launch. You know, they kind of, two years ago, they were early. Last year, they were on the early side, but they were working. And yeah, no, this year was supposed to be the year that they were making the Yankees eat their dust and moving forward with all everything that they built up over the past 5-6 years.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Virginia, friend of the show, you know, part of the whole Palazzo podcast is chiming in and, you know, Mike, an Orioles fan. So you're not going to want to listen to a couple different parts of this. This is one of them, Mike, because hurts, you know, it's a lot like a lot of the Toronto Maple Leaf fans in and around my area, how they got eliminated in their Game 7 match in Hackey last night. You know, it's things you knew were coming, right? And in Baltimore, this regression has been ridiculous, and it shouldn't have been, and it should not be. And they should be one of those best teams in the second half. And since the firing and all these things, there should be a turnaround point here. But what's going to make it happen? And we got players to discuss further on with this.
We'll be able
to bring it back up, because you made some great points about Hyde's abilities, and then we need to talk about what he and maybe their front office is not good at. But let's talk about successful 2020 draftee Mick Abel,
who had
an excellent opening career start, career MLB start yesterday, Skeen versus Pirates and Skeens, and it was 1-0, right? 1-0 game. Amazing.
And, yeah, just
9 Ks, 6 innings pitched for Abel.
Set a Phillies franchise record for a debut for the amount of strikeouts. Really, really impressed with what Abel has done this year.
And love the Phillies for what they're doing too. He's playing well. He came up.
And you lose someone like Austin Nola, a lot of times you're going to be like, that's a big chunk. We can't just replace it with a rookie.
Right.
And they did. They were willing to try it. But you know, they have an elite development system at the low levels, but it hasn't translated up to the top levels yet for the Phillies. And this was a good example of that. Like, Abel looked like a stud in A-ball.
Yeah.
Looked like a stud coming out of high school. And was
ahead of the curve as well then, of like for his age. And then all of a sudden it kind of caught up to him. Meanwhile, Painter skyrocketed up and then had injury, and we've all plateaued he's remained at that place. But
yeah, he hasn't really seen, but yeah, Abel, I was really impressed with, you know, he has really done a great job. And I'll be honest, I don't know the details as far as what he's done, but it is night and day to watch a 2024 Mick Abel performance and to watch a 2025 one, minors or this one at the major league level. He knows how to sequence stuff better. He knows how to pound the zone, and he's doing it. And man, was that, I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. That was fun to watch.
It's nice. It's nice because I had a fantasy trade with him 2 years ago when I traded Cheerio, and I got Walker Buehler back. I obviously needed pitching. I got Abel back thinking I think this could still turn out. And I can't remember my other piece at the moment, but they were all part of it. And I dumped a big Syndergaard $25 salary.
Oh my gosh.
League. So that was part of the deal, was like losing at the same time. Right. And you know, Abel was the guy who I was like, you could really make this deal be okay for me here if this works out. And I mean, it was one start yesterday and I didn't have him in the lineup for this particular one, but just so nice to see, and good for him. We'll see if he gets another one this weekend. And yeah sure thing, Chad. Yeah,
like Chad's thinking that the next time that rotation spot comes up, it could be Painter. And yes, we know Abel was demoted, after the start. That's
right, but that's what you do to get a bullpen arm back up,
and that's
you
just make a
corresponding move, and then somebody goes on the IL.
The Braves did the same thing before with Bryce Elder recently, and I'll guarantee he'll be back up soon. But they demoted him because the next rotation spot that they have coming up tomorrow is going to be going to Spencer Strider, who is healthy and back. And I'm sorry, Bryce Elder is not going to hold back Spencer Strider. That just ain't happening. So, but yeah, sometimes that happens. You demote someone, but you have every intention of bringing them back.
Well, and he also just proved I can come back, right? You can bring me back, and that'll be great. Strider, are we going to see anything good here, Ben? Or are you afraid?
It's Mets tomorrow, I believe. He just has something with pitching against the Mets in New York. I don't know what it is. He had a start 2 years ago now that I know a bunch of Mets fans got all kind of uptight about because he made a bunch of comments afterwards that, you know, he kicked their asses this game or something to that effect, but he lost.
No, he was a competitor? Yeah, okay.
And the thing is, he gave up something like 6 hits, and none of them were over 70 mile an hour or something like that. Exit velocity, bunch of bloops and crap, like something like the expected batting average off of him that game. He gave up 6 hits, and the expected batting average was something like 110. So I mean, he got hit by nickel and dime crap that particular game, and missed. You know that he ended up missing the zone and allowed a walk in there too, and they put together 3-4 runs, and he lost the ball game. I really think this could be good. I would allow it to work through a start. I might not, if I owned him, I don't know that, and I do in a couple spots. I don't know that I'm going to put him in for tomorrow, depending on the league. You know, it's if you're looking for just strikeouts and the ratios aren't going to kill you, yeah, he'll probably do okay. But I don't know that you really want to mess around with, he might be giving up some walks, especially right away. But it was, remember, it was a hamstring. It was not his arm. So for control purposes, that's what you're more worried about. Is when you injure your legs, you're a little more worried with controlling the baseball than you are with velocity and all that sort of stuff. So I would say he's probably going to be just fine.
And
the guy,
go ahead.
Say the guy that really is, to me, is a start right away guy is the one that we've got next on our sheet, and that's Walker Buehler coming back for Boston. And for one, they've been hitting, they've been supporting their starters. Their starters have just been getting their butts handed to them. So that's a big that he should be in a good spot. The offense is providing enough runs.
Do you think Buehler can play first base?
Well, I will say defensively, you know, yes, we're going to have a little Braves talk here. The Braves played him this weekend. Abraham Toro played an excellent defensive first base.
Yeah, not hitting. Yeah.
He did not hit worth a crap.
He's elite for some reason. But yeah. He can't do it in MLB.
Yeah. So very, very solid defender, though. And quite frankly, with what they have in the infield, they need someone who can scoop. They need someone who can stretch, because other than Trevor Story, and you would think Bregman, I don't know if he's just not reading balls quite right yet in Fenway, but he made a few throws that were just really off. That just were off. I mean, they didn't, that's not normal from Alex Bregman. And, whatever they have at second base doesn't seem to all have Chuck Knobloch disease. So
they're moving everybody around. I mean, not really everybody, but they're moving guys around, and even like David Hamilton with little spurts of potential, but no one's chugging along. No one's a 250 hitter even, right? Like they just have one game and then they're 0 for 10 or 1 for 10 or whatever. It's very odd in Boston. And Uncle Ted chimed in with his thoughts on Richard Fitz better than Buehler. Yeah, sure. In light time, but he's missed a lot with injury. He's also currently left the team, something personal in his life. Mm-hmm. When he returns, I can't imagine they wouldn't do any less than 3 rehab starts to see what's going on with him. They're not going to rush Fitz back up. They already went into this year with the plan of like the 6-man rotation. Everybody's going to take it easy. So when some of these guys, Bueller specifically, come back injured, you need just general health to be in a position to slow it down for him. So, but we'll see. Yeah. Like I like where Bueller's at. He could be good. Kirby, of course, Kirby, we're waiting George for the season Kirby. Debut. Is it Tuesday, do you think, Ben? I feel like I looked and it didn't say who was pitching Tuesday, but it could have been Evans was Tuesday and Wednesday was the to be determined.
Yeah, because he pitched Friday in a rehab. Tuesday seems like it would be early. Like that would
I thought
be
he was Thursday, short. But okay. Yeah, that makes so, either way, it would be 5 days.
Either way, he is on the road trip with the team. So they intend to have him start during this road trip, which
yeah.
That's a very positive thing. If you're like me and you thought that Grayson Rodriguez and George Kirby were your excellent 1-2 start to all of your fantasy redraft teams this year, at least you're getting one.
Yeah. So, yeah. Before we get too far away from the Boston, Eddie was just saying he's curious on what the Red Sox will do with Cutter Crawford. I feel like it's honestly just I don't want to get ahead with like Houston's rotation, but it's honestly, if you're healthy and you're doing fine, I don't know that they're going to bump you until they need to. So if Cutter comes back and 6 guys are all doing fine, they might, you know, do a AAA thing. Fitz could always go back. He's got options. I'm assuming Crawford's got one left. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's one of those don't rock the boats. And if they can stay afloat and stay second, third in the division.
Yeah. Tanner Houck, who just got hurt, but which is, Tanner Houck has had the screwiest year ever. He ended up having 2 games that we have never seen in the major leagues as far as runs and hits and allowed within a certain like 2 innings or 3 innings or whatever. But he's had a pretty solid year outside of those 2 starts. It's like a 3.30 or 3.40 ERA, and then he's had 2 11-run games. You're like, well, crap. You know, that's – so he is on the IL. But, yeah, he comes back. Is he going to be solid? You know, they've got a number of options. It's going to be fortunate for them. They have done a good job of building a team. So I do believe that they're going to do okay. One guy that Chad brought up here is Brandon Walter. I can't imagine he's going to do more than a spot start just because of where they are in the rotation. Quite frankly, I've always thought Brandon Walter was a long relief guy.
Yeah, I'm just looking right now, Ben. So he's got 5 starts and 9 appearances, but he does have 35 mm-hmm. and 2/3 innings. So that's starter workload.
And lefty, correct? Am I remembering that? Or a tall righty, one of the 2. So, yeah,
left, no, he's a lefty.
One of those guys who kind of always screen swing man to me. So,
yeah, he's very Ryan Yarbrough-y.
There you go. There's a good comp right there. But, yeah.
I don't know. So, I mean, play the hot hand. I don't. If they're going to go to 6, roll with 6, maybe they would like to do it. But, again, knowing that Fitz is potentially one of their guys, would they want to do that with him? And I guess he could prove himself over a short period of time and then get a shot back up, which is whomever with the Tigers gets to come up and take Reese Olson's spot. I was not aware that he was on the IL until later this evening. So something to his ring finger, I believe, an infection or something like that. I thought it said ring finger, but maybe one of the fingers. Anyway, so something where this hopefully is a minimum 10-day sting off for him, and then this gives the opportunity to whomever Detroit chooses to pull up, and whether they just go with like the 9 bullpen. I'm trying to remember who it is right now that said they were going to go to a 9-man pen and hit a bullpen game today or tomorrow. Crap. Oh. I had it written down before. We'll see what they do. They can always, you know, I don't know. They've got some of those guys that could be ready to come back. I haven't honestly looked into Detroit because I'm just astonished at how well they've done despite not having any amazing statistics as a team. They're just winning games. I mean, it's good. They're winning games, but Yeah, Toronto also, for everybody who wonders what's going on with Toronto, one of their prospects is doing well, everybody. They promoted Trey Savage out of Dunedin, where he probably shouldn't have been, to Vancouver, which is their high A location. And this year for Trey has been solid. I am definitely fearful of Toronto trying to speed along another college pitcher. Alec Manoah is all I keep thinking about.
Yes, do not give seven him the starts, Alec Manoah.
Yeah, that's seven exactly starts, 33 and a third inning. Of. 55 Ks and 33 and a third innings. That's dominant, right? You could have moved him up after the fourth start. I think you probably got the idea.
This is the Trey Savage we all talked about last year. And then, and as in, Burns and Chase Burns and Hagen Smith were kind of 1-1A, and Trey Savage was a really close number three. You know, he was really close with them, as in should go in the top 7 to 10 picks. And then he got injured at the very end of the year, and all of a sudden people were all sorts of worried about his injury. And obviously the Blue Jays are pretty darn happy that he fell right into their laps, because man, he has shown exactly what he was showing last year. This is a guy, of course, he started in low A. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably not even quite to the same level that he was pitching against last year in college, as far as plate discipline and everything else. But still, you still got to throw the ball. You still got to execute the pitches. And he's been doing that.
And it's Joe Lowrie,
Sorry,
Ben. I was just going to add, he's the second, I think, guy in 4 years or 3 years that the Blue Jays have drafted that's had an injury leading into the draft. Hoglund as the other. And they drafted and then eventually traded him. But Savage came back.
Joe's saying that they were trying to keep Savage away from the cold weather in Vancouver for the first part of the season. Not that either of you guys would know anything about that.
It's not cold in Vancouver. No. They don't really even get snow there. It just
Vancouver's like the San Diego of Canada. I mean, come on, you know,
it's not really perfect, sunny, you know? There. Oh, well, see, it's typically not sunny. If you want to see sun in Vancouver, you have to leave and go to Whistler, which you might all remember from the Olympics once upon a time. Anyway, let's talk about an Olympic level organization here. The Dodgers.
We got a bunch of
we've got Dalton rushing up. We could talk about the space they cleared for him. At the moment, we also have Outman and Kim splitting time in center field. They have Matt Sauer, who's their new starting pitcher that's good. Taylor was released in all this. Kirby Yates, as news today, went to the IL. And Lou Trevino, who you all remember from 8 years ago. They signed him a couple weeks ago, I think. And he's now going to come up. And I'm sure it'd be in a hold situation within a week, guys. The Dodgers have just moved pieces. They're rolling. I mean, they stomped the A's last week. Oh my God.
But then they got swept by the Angels.
They were so tired.
Yeah. They ran too many bases against the A's. And so they're tired.
Yeah. But yeah. So rushing, are you excited for rushing? Oh, okay. Joe, that's fair. Like that you're going to move Outman out. But Kim though, do you think Kim as the center fielder, that doesn't seem like your option, and I can't imagine they would want to be picking with Betts there. Do you think they're I just found it odd that Kim, who's like a solid infielder, is now playing center field.
I think Kim does everything Chris Taylor does and maybe a little better. You're getting Edmund back, and you've got I think rushing allows you to take care of some of that corner outfield stuff along with catching. And so, I mean, the Dodgers are going to be a little bit fascinating just to watch, because they're not throwing out guys who shouldn't be out there because there happen to be managers' buddies like Chris Taylor anymore or Austin Barnes, you know, and those guys were excellent, excellent players in 2020. You know, it is not 2020 anymore. That time has passed for them, and that's okay. They were given lots of options and didn't quite make it, but rushing, they've had a couple of different interviews with David Roberts where he has said he wants to see rushing get up to 4 starts a week, which would be really interesting. because you're not sitting Will Smith more than once or twice a week. And right. then from that point, he's got to get some outfield starts. He's got to get some DH starts, something. So, yeah.
Well, it'd be interesting. Sorry, I was just seeing whether Chad in the chat here, and if for anyone who's wondering what we're talking about, we go live on the YouTubes if you're not currently watching us there, and you can chime in on the chat. You can do it through X. I don't know if Truth Social has yet connected us through for that one. We're working on it. We're trying to get that connection, but something always seems to be wrong.
We can't get the plane right delivered there. For some reason. And that,
we can't land the plane.
Yeah, there we go.
But anyway, so you can always comment. I just noticed that amongst Chad's 19 straight messages, one of them said something about Outman was down, which I didn't realize. And then he said he had it backwards that Páez went down. So it, regardless, either way, Chad, one of those guys in there potentially splitting time. Like you said, Ben, it's fascinating what's happening. Yeah. And we're going to continue to watch and see what happens here. And of course, at some point, they're going to have to add a $20 million salary somewhere in this. I mean, it's a matter of who it is. So,
yeah.
Continuing on here, Twins winning streak ended at 13. Outfielder Carton McCusker is now up, and you've got it here that he is 6'8". That is a tall fella.
He's 6'8", and I mean, it says 250. When they did the height adjustment for the ABS, those are accurate. He's 6'8". I wouldn't believe 250. I think it's more like 275, 280, but as in can play center field at 275, 280. Very athletic guy. Reminds me a ton in his swing and his approach at the plate of Richie Sexton. And for better or worse. But the unfortunate thing is Richie took a lot more walks. And so this is going to be something where he's got to have some patience because there's such a big zone there. Pitchers can just attack you because you have such a big strike zone. They can make a lot of mistakes and still hit the zone on you. And that's exactly what you've got to be disciplined and make sure you're going after your pitch during an at-bat. Should be very interesting to see if he gets any time. He only got one at-bat over the weekend, but intriguing guy anyway. Last I heard, Matt Wallner had a little bit of a setback, so that could be why you saw a corner outfielder come up. Just to kind of, because they have been really disappointed with what they've been getting from Deshaun Kearsey Jr. He's excellent in the defensive end of things, very terrible with a bat in his hands. And so that is what they have found. That doesn't work so well if you want him to start. He makes an excellent fourth, fifth outfielder, but not so much a starter when they have injuries that require him to come into the lineup. So,
and you need offense. I mean, I think it was last Monday we were talking about it with Cleveland, about Rocchio just being so bad offensively and still starting, and he has been sent down. I think it was even Monday night, so it could have happened as we were getting ready or as we were recording that he got sent down. I think it was last week. And the one league that I have him in, I'm like, okay, well, Leo Rivas, go in, please get more at bats. That was my immediate move. Well, I'm like, now let's look for something else here. So we'll see what the Twins do. And in sad news with Houston, Hayden Wesneski is actually getting Tommy John. This was a potential.
Does that mean we get to see Blue Ball?
I don't know what it means.
Yeah,
I think they were the one that said they were going to move to the 9-man pen at the moment. If I'm not mistaken, it was somebody. I can't remember who the hell I was looking at. Milwaukee wasn't Milwaukee. Doesn't matter. But Wes says he's 2027, and that sucks because he finally had a rotation spot. And I, of course, there were other injuries that initially opened it up for him, but he had it, and he was up and down, holding his own. And it did set Eddie saying blue balls. It sounded a little like, are we going to see blue balls? I'm like, I don't know, Ben, look down.
Okay.
Speaking of extremities, slapdick prospect, one time slapdick prospect, Xavier Edwards hit the IL. Otto Lopez potentially getting some regular at-bats. I know in the early part of the season, everyone was excited. Otto Lopez is not the dynamic player that people, I think, were kind of hoping, like lightning in a bottle situation. He's got an opportunity here, unlike Jose Alvarado, who is eating an 80-game suspension at the moment, and that's what happens when you cheat, and it is sad and crappy. And, of course, as people know, this means you cannot compete in the postseason when you the same year that, you've been suspended.
That seriously, that is the biggest.
That's the worst part of,
part of this for the Phillies, you know. Yeah. And frankly, it should be for him too, because you're letting down your team because you're not going to be able to be there in the postseason. And find me another lefty that throws three different pitches, 97 or better. You know, that's right. The thing. He throws that cutter, the and then both fastballs. 97 or better, and then he's got some breaking stuff off of that. But that's a wicked combination for left on left, and you just, you're not going to be able to replace that in your pen. That's just what really stinks for them.
Yeah, and we will see what they do. But I mean, luckily, and I think I mentioned a few weeks ago, Jordan Romano is tightening it up,
man,
at the right time for her.
I think so. If I remember right, I looked and he had something like three strikeout innings over the last week.
Oh,
maybe
wow.
It was
okay.
10 days or something like that, but it was 3 strikeout appearances, which, you know, and it was 3 strikeouts and 1 or 0 walks. That was the thing that I was
which
really
is
impressed
the big
by
one for him.
That was been the issue, is he was walking the building, and now it's been really impressive to be blunt.
Yeah.
And so
I mean, a rough, rocky April, and he certainly seems to have straightened himself out now.
Wait,
so
he was in Colorado?
I wish. Their bullpen actually is fine.
They actually have a pretty good bullpen. That's about the one thing the Rockies got.
It's the guys that start the game that seem to be the problem.
And swing the bats. Yeah,
they need to take the Kansas City approach with a bunch of veteran-y types and just see what can happen. But they do have Kansas City does have a young guy that we could see, but I don't know exactly when. Jack Caglione is now in AAA. He has taken his AA league-leading home runs and muted it to zero, and now he's up in AAA. What do you think, Ben? Now it's May. It's May. We could see him. We could see him this year.
Oh, this year for sure. It's going to be very interesting to see how soon this year, because the guys they expect to be giving them power just aren't. You know, and I think we've talked about that here before. Sal Perez, no. Vinny P, no. Hunter Renfro, not even giving them average. At least the other two are getting on base a little bit. But, I mean, you're just not getting power. And you built a lineup knowing that you're going to get not a lot of power from certain guys. Mikel Garcia, you're not expecting him to give you power. You're not expecting, you know, Kyle Isbell to give you power, but they're going to be excellent defenders, and they both do get on base with a lot of speed. But you got to have somebody who offers some power in behind Bobby Witt Jr. And so that he's not, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the league leaders in stolen bases, and a large part of that is, quite frankly, he's on base a lot because they're pitching around him. They're not giving him good stuff to drive, so he's on first base quite a bit if he gets a single, or he's walking and then he's stealing second base because he's a freak athlete. So unfortunately that's what we're dealing with here, is just, you know, a guy who they need something. And if he can show in Omaha that he's able to hit, that'll be really fun. Because that was the concern coming out last year. Is he going to strike out so much that he can't do it? And if he's, let's say, striking out 25% of the time in AAA, you would think he's going to be up really fast. So anyway,
it's fun.
The power is going to be there.
Yeah. And at the start of the year, we were wondering, how are they going to fit him in? Right. And now that's no longer the case of like how there are options now, performance based. And maybe it'll just be a matter of when the health lines up, when someone's poor health lines up with his promotion. We'll see. Interesting news on the prospect standpoint here. The Rangers have signed a 2-way Korean high school player, Sung Jung Kim. And it wouldn't be the worst thing if they just sorted out guys with completely different names, because a lot of these guys are all Kim related here. But yeah, they, when was it Sunday they announced, right?
Yeah, I think Sunday that's right. Became official. It was kind of one of those where it was
extra money kicking around, $1.2 million he got here.
And I think some of that was they didn't get some guys that they were hoping for, because other people who were in hard after Sasaki had some money left over, and so they kind of swooped in late and got a few guys that, and I believe one of which was supposed to go to Texas. So that left some money on the board for Texas, and this is one of the ways that they ended up using it, which is, you know,
yeah,
that should that's be really, yeah. I can't give you much of a scouting report. Yeah. We've had Dave in here a few times. Dave Hill be able to give us all sorts of information because he loves talking about them Asian young men. So anyway,
before we go to Jesus Takes the Wheel, which we could use after talking about somebody loving young Asian men, Fantasy Sports popped in and said, which closer would you rather have, Batista, McGill, or Romano? For me, McGill seems like the logical pick, so I'm going to go with Romano. Yeah. Because I'm going with the guy locked in at the moment who can hold it, who I have seen. You know, obviously, I've seen him in person going to Jays games, but I've also just seen his evolution coming in as a back end of the bullpen guy, and he looks like he's locking himself in. So that's my guy. Ben, who do you got? Who your boy?
Quite frankly, a lot of it's going to be opportunity, and then also what does the organization have around him? And I think both the Orioles and the Brewers have more options if someone hits a struggle bus. Right now, the Phillies don't.
That's true.
That's big thing is they have a Ryan Kirkring, and that's about it. And I don't know if they really trust him in the ninth yet. It's kind of, you know, Romano's your guy specifically if you're looking at saves. I was going to pull up this one here just because it's not really it is kind of a young guys. It's not necessarily
prospect. Yeah.
But Wyatt Langford, Luis Hill, who's not going to see him this year, but still, and then Bryce Miller for Jackson Holliday and Pete Crow Armstrong. That's an interesting deal. Based on this year's production alone, I think you want the Holliday Crow Armstrong side of that, but is that going to continue on the rest of the way? That's the question. And man, I
like bulk pitching personally.
Yeah.
I have one league where I think I have 9 guys on the IL that are all pitchers, and that's a league where I bulked pitching, a 24 team league. It's important. So depending on your league here, I think long-term planning, you know, Miller and Hill are options. Now we don't know what Hill's coming back, right? This will be the second major absence for him, injury related. So I don't know. And then again, like, do you think Pete Crow Armstrong is real? Like, what do you think he legitimately is? And same with Holliday, right? Yeah. Like, all of it.
I think it's fun. Holliday could be very interesting to stay where he's at.
Yeah.
If PCA stays at this level offensively, well, I guess you're going to be getting rid of Barry Bonds stuff because he's kind of producing. Well, actually, you're going to be getting rid of Aaron Judge stuff because Aaron Judge right now is kind of outproducing a lot of things that Barry Bonds did in his heyday, which that's insane. A guy who's hitting home runs like that, hitting also 400 is ridiculous. So we had another question here, and we'll quickly hit this. Whoops, that's the one right below it. Could we see Bubba Chandler this weekend? And Eddie piped in and did say, if we knew the date that the Pirates gain an extra year on Chandler, immediately after that date, he'll be up. Which, you know, we know the Pirates. We know that that's probably not a bad evaluation. I guess I still don't see it. I just... For one, Bubba's kind of had a couple of, I got to pull this up, but I thought he had had a couple of rough starts recently.
The current rotation for the Pirates looks as follows. Skeens, Keller, Bailey Falter, Andrew Heaney, and Carmen Muldzinski. Now, after Keller, it is a wheels falling off situation from day one, which we talked about. But at the same time, this is a Pirates MO this is something that they seem comfortable to do. And
yeah,
the final man, Mlesinski, could be the easy one to throw back to the bullpen. I don't know.
So here's the thing that, and why this was brought up to me, and why I immediately went, oh, I don't know if he's coming up then in a little bit. Bubba Chandler's last three starts has combined to walk 9 guys over 12 innings. Yes, wow. He struck out 20 as well, but all right, of a sudden
he's fighting himself, not the batters.
Yeah, he's struggling to keep that ball in the zone. And, you know, I will say, anyone wanting to chip about the hits, he's got a 517 BABIP in those starts. You know, that's one of those that I'm not worried about the hits, but the walks have nothing to do with BABIP. That's him not hitting the zone the way it should. And in one of those games, he even had 2 hit by pitch. And I think, where's my, not on here. That's a weird setup that they don't have. Anyway, I was looking for wild pitches, and apparently they don't have wild pitches on the game logs on Baseball Reference. Never noticed that. But anyway.
On Pirates notes here, Ben, Spencer Horwitz is now finally with team as well, which we didn't even put on the notes, which is exciting. And I was checking to see where he is in the lineup, and he's right behind Joey Bart, I think, in the 6th hole, which is perfect because Joey Bart needs some protection. He has been eroding over the last month. 243 the last 2 weeks for average, then a big dip to 105. No power. He's become empty everything. Luckily for Bart, he's not striking out at a ridiculous rate or anything like that, but he's going to need some protection. And of course, Horwitz is one of the two pieces, Nick Gonzalez being the other, that need to come back so we can see what a Pirates lineup looks like when they have options that are under the mid-30s on their
bench. And quite frankly, that might determine a lot of when Bubba's coming up. Why would you bring him up? I mean, if you just watch Skeens get outdueled by a rookie making his debut because your lineup is so terrible that they couldn't put together one run against a guy making his major league debut.
Yeah.
Why would you bring up someone that you want to be your future and say, here, go out, try your hardest, and watch yourself lose a whole bunch of games? That's not a good way to do things. Eddie brought up here in the comments that he lives in the Bronx. Yankees are talking about Hill being back at the end of June. That would be interesting.
Even better for that trade then. More value, more 25 value for that.
So, all right, let's get into your Jesus Take the Wheel, and I'm not going to do a Govier singing tonight.
Yeah, we won't get into that, but you guys get the idea, right? So what we're doing here with Jesus Take the Wheel pick is you are pooched in your league and you need someone. So depending on your depth, I apologize for picking a Monday night guy, and he's already off the mound here. Edward Cabrera was my first guy, so I went out and did you guys a solid and got a second guy. But Cabrera, if you're able to pick him up, at Chicago, he got out of the way before all the mayhem ensued. I'm trying to think of who was it. I just had a quick look. Cabrera did 5 innings, and then Thilbar came in for one. No, wrong guy. I'm looking at that's the Cubby side of this. Cabrera had 5 innings, then Tinoco? Sure, let's say that, right? A third of an inning, 4 runs. He just blew it all up. Now, Cabrera had 3 earned runs, so not perfect or anything, but 7 Ks in that time.
Ben Brown got smoked.
Ben Brown got smoked, 4 2/3. Oh. Yeah, and he was the guy I started my home league when I was looking at this, and I thought, well, I can't start both. So I didn't pick up Cabrera, and I thought he'll be a longer play, and we'll see if maybe for some reason he slides to next week. But again, it would have been Monday. So this is my only chance to say it, guys. But he's at the Angels this weekend and then at home to San Francisco next week. So potentially, for the weekend series against the Angels and then next week, San Francisco. So he might be, you know, of some interest. But if you're looking for a potential short stint guy, because this can't possibly be long, let me introduce you once again, everybody. It's 2017. Ryan Yarbrough is now with the Yankees. On Wednesday night, not Tuesday, Wednesday night, he's going to take on Texas. I can't remember who the pitcher is. It's some no-name guy. DeGrom, something like that. Yeah. But that guy aside, he might be able, with that Yankee offense, to out-duel DeGrom and potentially pick up a win. I'm not thinking this is his best start, but his next start is going to be against the Angels in LA. That's the nice one. That'll be on the 26th, I believe. Or sorry, yeah, is that right? And then he'll be at the Dodgers. Oh, sorry, this is next week. Next Monday is when he's going to be your two-start guy for Yarbrough. So he's going to take on the Angels, and then he's going to stay in LA. They're staying there for the full week, which I think is really good. And he's going to take on the Dodgers over the weekend, which is obviously not ideal, but he's got two starts between now and then to build up some innings and have the long bullpens and all those things. And the Dodgers that we just talked about are fascinating, but they're not all 300 hitters. You can, you know, find a way, like the A's beat them, right? It's baseball, or because baseball. So not ideal matches. And he also, over the same period of time, could slide back into multi-inning relief role and still end up with 10 innings pitched over the next 2 weeks.
See, that's
with a perfectly solid line, right? Yep. Like, you know, he's
and maybe even pick up two wins.
Yeah, you know, and he's going to be the cheapest guy you can find out there right now. Even if someone rosters him in a league, a dynasty league where you can trade, or redraft where you can trade, whatever, he could be worth a temporary pickup. You know, very much like you can go and get something for him right now, because whoever has him is like, hey, found money. You're going to give me a prospect of some note, you know, somebody you don't like, somebody they might be fond of, and then maybe work a deal or something like that. No different than how you'd love to tell dynasty GMs a week ago, Mick Abel, right? Go out and get Mick Abel.
Yeah.
But you know, we're a day late on that one. So either way, that's your guy. So
before we'll go to ads, interesting thing, since you brought up Ryan Yarbrough, it was 2018 on this date that Sergio Romo made the first of two consecutive starts. He made a start on the 18th and then also on the 19th with a newfangled thing that the Rays were trying called an opener.
Oh, wow. And
the guy who came in after Romo was Ryan Yarbrough.
There we go. Nailed the year.
Year. Is that just not, you know, the fact that you brought that up, I used that. I was putting together a newsletter thing today, and that was my on this date in history sort of thing. So it kind of like, just kind of fun that that's who your Jesus Take the Wheel pick is. So there we go. All right. Perfect. Are we ready for an ad?
Let's do the ad.
All righty.
This is Ed 209, the future of law enforcement in Delta City. You must rate and review the Palazzo podcast with 5 stars immediately. You have 20 seconds to comply.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
That's an excellent ad. If anyone knows how horrible he is at three throws, my goodness.
That was amazing. Oh, hey, there's a good question for you.
Yeah, what did Joe say? I'm not sure of the current exchange rate, but do you say in Canada a day late, a toonie short? No, it's a loonie. You dumb bastard. Okay.
Jeez.
We keep it to the dollar.
Wowzer. So
sorry,
now,
was that a little aggressive? Sorry. So sorry. So sorry.
So now we're heading into our guys who are bad now, but they still could be up in the show this year. So these are guys whose statistical lines right now, not so good. But with the team, maybe because of team opportunity, maybe because you see something in what they're doing. putting this on the thing, Joe responded. But anyway, so he said, what was that all about? But these are guys who are going to potentially have an opportunity with their club to appear at some point this year. And like we said, we started looking and thought, there's maybe a handful of these type of guys. And no, not really. So we thought that we'd dig in and find a bunch more, but we kind of have that handful. So
In the vein here, just for everybody who knows, of not picking somebody who could potentially be coming up that we're not overly aware of. You know, I think I limited myself to only one that probably isn't common for everybody to know. But realistically, you could be thinking these are your buy low guys, but it's not necessarily as much buy low as it is they're not playing well. Like, this is like legitimate guys who the lines don't look good, right? As we go through this, we'll see, like, you'll recognize names and things, but there's legitimate reason for you to go in your leagues and discuss a trade for mm-hmm. these players.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Not, hey, you know, like, I had two people reach out to me about Abel today in two different leagues. Like, hey, I know you got him. Like I'm interested. I'm like, yeah, obviously now, right? But yeah. You know,
well, duh.
This is the other end of it where they are not doing it, not in the show, right? They're supposed mm-hmm. to be doing it, and to get promoted, they're not yet necessarily doing it. So anyway, first guy up with the White Sox is Colson Montgomery. So this could be their future shortstop. This could be their future third baseman. Yep. But typically those players hit a little higher than 141, 223, 225.
Yeah.
And then he went
started off the season with a real bang, hit a home run on opening day. And everyone's like, ooh, finally, what we saw in Arizona Fall League, he's going to turn it into something and he'll be up early in the season. Yeah, no. He went down to Arizona Complex, spent 2 weeks there. And one of the things that Colson Montgomery has done when he is right is he really pounds the gaps. A guy who I've always thought he's not going to be a huge home run guy, but he's a guy who could easily hit 40 doubles. And when he's looked good. And that's what he's doing right now. He's a whole lot better with his pitch recognition. And rather than trying to crank stuff out of the park, he is just going gap to gap, which it may not be sexy, especially for fantasy. But it's something that he can succeed with, then you're going to be a lot happier with that at the major league level. Because like I said, there is going to be 15 to 20 home run power. But, you know, if he's up and he's hitting 110, 150, it doesn't matter what kind of home run power he's got. He's going back down. So if he can use the gap approach and keep a decent average, yeah, he'll be up. He'll stay up. So. Anyway,
He is somebody that we were very excited about and wanted to see the progression. Yeah. We're not seeing it. And luckily the White Sox put him in complex to try to help work on him a little bit.
To me, that's a really impressive move by a team with a guy who's a top prospect like that to actually take the initiative to send him back down to complex and work on something. And then, like I said, to see something visibly different when he returns. Because a lot of folks were going, oh, but he only hit like 150 at the complex. Okay, yes, when you're working on changing your approach at the plate, sometimes, you don't hit well right away when you're kind of readjusting and doing things. But it certainly has shown since he got back. He's been something like 280 or high 270s since he's gotten back. But the big part is a lot lower strike. Right. And he's actually doing a little bit of walking. And so that's a big thing.
And the final thing we didn't mention, but we will, I put at the very end of our show notes, Ben, is Matt Shaw. He made adjustments as well. We'll get to that. That's the very last thing I had in because I meant to put him in news, but it just, I don't know. We didn't do it, guys. We didn't do it. But next guy up here, this is an obvious one. Everybody in Dynasty is just like, hopefully as confused as me over this. Kobe Mayo, Baltimore's future third baseman. No, he's not going to be a trade. This man Baltimore needs a boost. They need an arm, they need a leg, they need things, and Mayo is not that guy. Now, Ben, you alluded to it earlier about things that Hyde was not good at, and that was giving at bats to all of their young guys to let them work it out and to help them and develop them and protect them. And, you know, maybe they become a platoon guy and they get their feet wet and all this. Mayo just crashed and burned and he didn't really even get a chance this year with it. But he also has not been doing well in AAA. The line is very poor. And outside of same thing, Ben, he had a great opening weekend. I think he hit one or two dingers and then he's cooled off since then. But like, I am so afraid that Baltimore is going to Miguel Vargas him. And if you're at all have forgotten. The Vargas was this top flight Dodger prospect that had the this insane ability to walk, and he had power, but like not Mayo type power where he seemed like a real solid threat. Maybe that was ballpark related, whatever. They eroded his talent, and it took until, you know, this year when he actually is in the show on a horrible team where he is around a league average type guy, I think.
And but more 25. Than anything, he's being allowed to play.
Right. He's being allowed to play.
He's being allowed to just, you know, screw up and come back out the next day. And that's the big thing. I love Ramon Urias. I love owning him as a four-start a week sort of utility player. That's not a guy who should be starting against someone who has a legit potential franchise cornerstone ability behind him. That's Mayo should be starting with a guy like Urias backing him up, not opposite of that. Which and say, well, then it's Rodriguez even worse
getting the playing time when he got promoted was just beyond me, because
Rivera's just not that guy.
Urias has been solid. We've talked about it at length. Yeah. He is a frustratingly fine player on a team that's supposed to be graduating away from his type to potential, as you said, cornerstone type guys.
Yeah.
Mayo's not it. I've got the trade here lined up. All right. Now, the problem is that the Rockies are not good at answering the phone and making these deals. But you send Kobe, and now they were willing to take on and made something of and then could not continue with Nolan Jones, but they did that deal. Mayo goes out to Colorado and they send back like Freeland plus, and the plus could be one of like Halverson. It could be the Agnos from the bullpen. It could be another thing. Get it done. It doesn't have to be Freeland. Could be another pitcher. If Feltner got right, maybe they would be just perfectly fine MLB starters, but you don't seem to care in Baltimore about getting Mayo in the lineup as much as others. And I want Mayo on everything. So anyway, I'm just upset about that one. I know how to make it. Quick check in the chat. Can anyone list how to make mayonnaise without Googling it? It's called aioli, by the way, not mayonnaise. That's a name brand. Anyway, let's see. Just list the ingredients. I want to see if anybody can get it right. Speaking of, because you need the right ingredients to be good, like the Cubs and James Triantos, is this a legitimate guy? Is this somebody we're seeing fall off the face of the earth? It was the AFL in 2023, right, that he hit 300? Oh, that's your notes.
That he was, 400 that year in the AFL.
Oh, was it? So, okay.
He was just a stud. And then he hit 300 last year in AA and AAA. So, I mean, you're thinking, okay, this guy's got defensive flexibility. but he's got defensive flexibility and good contact skills. You're thinking, oh, well, this is at least a guy that could factor into second, third, maybe an outfield spot, but should certainly be a really good bench player, you know, type of guy that, you know, does come in and gives you 3-4 starts a week because he's that, I mean, frankly, Chris Taylor at his peak sort of guy, you know, that type of guy who can come in and can start a bunch of places, give guys days off, and is going to produce in that amount of time. But yeah, it's not been pretty this year by numbers. 577 OPS. Not good. But interesting thing, and let's see if I can pull this off here. There we go. That's what I wanted to do. There. Or not. See, this is all just beautiful.
What are you trying to pull up here?
I'm trying to pull up my prospect savant. There we go, because I clicked the wrong button. That's why. So let me zoom in on this. But if you go down here, look at that red for James Triantos this year in AAA. Not a whole lot of blue, frankly, at all. Chase rate is crap. That's his really bad one right down here. But everything else is red. I think it's the one of those things where he's doing everything right and stuff isn't falling, but he's also, it doesn't show up in like his BABIP, which that kind of has surprised, that surprised me when I looked at it. I think there's still something there.
Yeah.
And we might be talking back half of the year, but the Cubs are going to be looking for guys for bench roles. They're going to be looking, you know, somebody's going to get hurt along the way and you're going to need somebody to cover that. If he can turn things around, that's definitely a guy to keep an eye on, because for one, he does offer you some speed, and when he's right, the batting average is really good. And so those are two things that could certainly help you in your fantasy team.
Yeah. Tampa Bay, who, you know, we've talked about, and we're not sure what they're going to do this year. They always compete. I was noticing today, I forget what the post was when I finally got to sit down at my computer at work. They always try to, you know, the clickbait things, like every 10 seconds it changes. And it said, this trade makes sense for Boston's first base situation. And I'm I'll bite, clicked on it. And it was, or though this trade with an AL East club, that's what it was. And it was saying they should go and pick up Yandy Diaz from Tampa Bay. And I'm like, yeah, Tampa Bay might be down to deal if, you know, they continue their subpar ways, see what happens. But they've got a subpar top prospect in shortstop Carson Williams. Did we think the bat was better than it? Like, was he not rated as not ideally like?
And that's just it.
High average guy.
He's kind of always been this guy, is low average, but good power, good steals, strikes out too much. The issue is this year it's been way too much. And he's been leading off a lot. And he very well may have been told by the organization, take the first five pitches you see, or something to that effect. And
if you're still up, go ahead.
Yeah. If you're up, if you're still at the plate, then swing. But I mean, it's just something doofus like that, because he's got a walk rate beyond anything he's ever posted to, which makes me think that that's an intentional thing going on here.
Sounds like Miguel Vargas.
Yeah, you know,
when all of a sudden the Dodgers were like, you need to walk, and in spring training he was walking, everyone's like, yes, this is the time, and then it didn't amount to anything.
But this is another guy who again, we'll pull up that fun sheet, but look at all that red.
Yeah, I mean, that all looks good.
That all looks wonderful. Now you get down into the zone contact, swinging strikes, whiff rate, K rate. Those are all very, very, very blue. And his speed, 98th percentile in speed. Yeah. You know, this is an elite sort of guy.
Gosh, Tampa Bay could really have a fun team. If bunting was cool so that all the kids were doing it, Tampa Bay could really create havoc on the base pass.
Could you imagine having Chandler Simpson ahead of Carson Williams, like on the base pass, or vice versa? You know,
you could even split them up, though. You could have two power bats in between them with another power bat behind them.
And wait, Tampa has power bats?
Well, I don't know. I was just kind of thinking off the top, like, yeah. But anyway. Yeah, that would be an interesting one. And so we'll see. Williams, I like. It is hard for me to buy into Tampa prospects. This is a longstanding thing for me. It's obviously they've brought up a ton of guys and things have happened, but it's like when they trade for somebody, I'm interested. Whoever they trade away, I try to figure out what's going on with them. Libertor was a prime example until this year of they traded away and got the most out of that deal. Now St. Louis has what seems to be a reliable starter. So teams, as we've already mentioned tonight, Ben, that cannot make a good deal are the Rockies. They just can't do it because they, like I said, don't pick up the phone. But they got a couple guys who don't look great from the outside, but you still believe in Yanquil Fernandez and Sterling Thompson, both outfielders. Thompson was supposed to be like a legit, easy to go to MLB guy. And it hasn't seemed that way to me, but what's your deal with Fernandez?
So Fernandez, we all remember in 22, 23, right in that area, he was launching balls, looking really good in the lower levels. You're like, oh, this is, you know, yeah, lower walk rate than you'd like, but the type of guy who's just, his exit velocities were excellent. And he just looked like a guy that could actually get through the Rockies system without having them damage him. But he altered his, apparently somebody told him after 23, hey, you need to have a lower strikeout rate. And so he did that. He worked really hard at that, and he had strikeout rates under 20% in 24. But he basically had no power because of it. And it just, he really changed his approach, and I just, he really needs to, I think honestly, he's done such a job to make sure that he's making contact on things that he's not waiting on that pitch that he can attack in an at bat, that he's looking for the first pitch that he can hit. And rather than sitting back and waiting on a pitch, which sometimes does lead to a few more strikeouts because you don't get that pitch in an at bat,
right,
or you happen to foul it off, you know, that's, those things happen. But if you sit back and you look for the best pitch of the at bat to hit, yeah, it's just, that could be a very interesting, the he's had low strikeouts this year. He's added power. All of a sudden, his power is back. He's hitting ball with authority, but he's got a 211 BABIP. And so his batting average does not look great right now. But he's doing all the things you kind of would like to see him do as a potential power guy in Colorado. Now, this is, like I said, this is going to be a guy who's not going to give you a whole lot of walks, which means that he's probably pretty prone to droughts. But the power is legit now that he's back to swinging for it. So who knows? I mean, Colorado could use everything in their lineup. So, I mean, they could use a speed guy. They could use a power guy. They could use an average guy. They could find somewhere for any type of player. So Fernandez, definitely a guy that you could see later this year. Thompson is a different one.
Thompson, first year in AAA, right? 131 at bats at the moment, 237 average. OBP, I will call it acceptable, 322. Yeah. That's, you know, that's fine. His career average has been many, many points higher. And even in the fall league not last year, 23, he appeared to be on the cusp of greatness. It was okay last year, not outstanding, but I don't know, Ben. I'm not, what are we to like of him? Because where I do roster him, it's where I just drafted this offseason, Trout, Yelich, to shore up my weak outfield, and that has not worked. So I could use Thompson if he could be good, please.
Thompson, and seriously, Thompson, when he got drafted, I had visions of someone like DJ LeMahieu coming up. And big-time average, not elite power, not an elite speed guy by any means. And this is why I hate the Colorado system. You get into these ballparks and you start to shift your approach. And Thompson started to shift his approach, trying to get more power. And he altered his swing just a touch. And it's like he's up there swinging for fences. And I'm thinking, dude, everyone's got this idea that you go to Colorado and the fences are so close and that's why you're going to hit home runs. No, they've got the biggest outfield in the game. You know, that's why guys have really good batting averages there, is because there's so many gaps that they can hit the ball for doubles that normally wouldn't fall, because there's so much room in between the outfielders, they just can't cover it. So I would say he needs to go back to that all fields approach. And yeah, it may not be as sexy for us as fantasy owners, but for him as in to be successful, that's what he really needs to do. Do I think that that's going to be a quick and easy change? No, but it could lead to him coming up late in the season and he could maybe do something for you at that point. So,
we've seen Colorado try with prospects bringing the guys up. So if they can keep doing it, find the hot hand, you know, Beck on his second approach has been better. There's some level of consistency now, so that's good. And yeah, maybe one of these two guys or both will get a shot, Fernandez or Thompson. So, but that's enough of the hitters, Ben. Let's shift our focus to what truly wins championships that everybody likes to ignore on lists. You know, they suppress, but you always need pitching, baby. So we've got a rotation for everybody out here to buy. Your first choice, I love. It is the Angels relief pitcher, but their minor league ace, Caden Dana. One of the youngest men at AAA, not a great line, but they typically, as we've spoken about, you know, before, they draw from AA and promote. He's at AAA, and that 5.20 ERA is ugly. And a 3.30 BABIP against the PCL,
you know, in the PCL, that's a hitter's league. Mm-hmm. What I love is he's keeping the walk rate not great, but I mean, you're pitching in the PCL. You got a whole bunch of quad A guys that are just tearing away at the baseball. So you're probably not pounding the zone too much because you don't want to seize too many of those balls in the seats. 2.5 strikeouts per walk. That's really good. That's a very good, you know, kind of your major league. What you want to have is at least two. You want to have double the strikeouts you do walks, at least. And he's at 2.5 right now. And that's a very, very, very good rate. Dana is a really good example of a guy that he came up, he struggled, and so everyone immediately wrote him off. And this at 20 years old last year. Now he's 21. This is the type of guy that it might not be this year. He's probably going to get another chance this year, but it might not be this year. It might be, he might be 24 before he finally, everything clicks. So it might be another couple of years down the line, but he's gotten to this level already at 21 for a reason. You know, he's got the talent. He's been able to survive. Not a guy that I'm going to mention for this to consider for this year. But last year, one of the prospects everyone was talking about in the Angel system was Nelson Rada, who started at AA.
That's right.
Was 19, was the youngest player in AA all year last year. Now he's hitting. Now he's hitting this year, going back to AA at 20. And there's a good chance that we might see him get a little bit of AAA this year, but it seems like they're slow playing him a little more now. They pushed him so hard, and he fell on his face. And that could be exactly what happened with Dana here. He got up to the majors last year. They pushed him hard, and he fell on his face.
And it's got to be hard mentally to be promoted, to be felt like you are here, not to save us, but you're here because you're good. And this is what happens when you're good. You're up. Okay, next year you're down. You're back. You're on the cusp here. You're AAA, new park, new level for you. And then you get back up and it's like, well, you're not going to start. You're going to be in the bullpen. It's very Kobe Mayo situation of like, give the player a role and let them try to fill that role.
Exactly.
So maybe with Dana, he's at AAA, doing his thing, getting the innings, pitching, put the time on the arm, right? Putting the wear and tear on the arm so that when he does come up at 22, let's say, he stays.
Yeah. And that, you know, so yeah, you might not see him get, well, honestly, I think let's see what the Angels do at the end of July, because a guy like Taylor Anderson could be very, very valuable on the market. You know, they have some guys. Jose Soriano could be a really exciting guy on the market if he's available.
Yeah, that's true.
So they could ship out a couple of starters and really do some things, because it seems like they kind of want to remake that system to have some depth now. They've been working on that with some of the trades that they've made. We've just seen recently Matthew Lugo come up and produce. That was part of a like three players for one deal that they made last year with a bunch of guys who were at AA or better, you know. And that's, you get after July 31st for these guys, you might see Dana come up as a rotation member for the rest of the year. And then if you aren't on that boat, he might be locked in for a rotation spot for 2026 based on what he does at the end of the year. They're just going to throw him out every five and let him be what he is. And then he comes back next year and he's a stud.
Yeah. And like Eddie's popped on here, post-hype prospect in 2 years. It doesn't mean, him coming up potentially to stay if they are in a position to move one or two arms out and give him a slot rest of season. Well, pitchers, it doesn't mean he's going to. going to come up and produce in a positive way for fantasy. Yeah. But again, underlying stats, we can see things happen. And then 26 could be that adjustment year. Lucas Giolito was amongst the worst starters his first full year with Washington. No, with the White Sox post the Washington trade. And then the next year they put him right back out. And all of a sudden it was like, whoa, this is a difference maker. This is a guy. Reynaldo Lopez, same thing. That was 2018. Back to Yarborough, back to the it was back then, I think it was 2018. Yeah. And then they had that stretch, you know, Giolito had that stretch, but he was in a position to go through the struggles at the MLB level, not be demoted, to work through like some six something ERA, like just horrendous, but he was able to do it. So credit to him on that. Now you've got next man up here, Adam Mazur. Formerly of San Diego, now with Miami, over five FIP in AAA, but he's not walking guys. 6% walk rate, and he's a contact pitcher who could be at the back end, very much like Dana, but a different maybe career trajectory. Hopeful for Dana versus Mazur, but a back end rotation guy if Miami sells a few guys. Sandy Alcantara is going to go, right? That's what everybody wants. Everybody's pressuring Miami to make this deal, da da da. But he's been horrible, and you need him to bring you back value. Otherwise, you may as well hold him. But Mazur, on the other end of like looking for a spot here, yeah, I love the idea of a pitcher who's not doing well, but is not walking guys. So why is he not doing well? You know, that what's the adjustment that any guy like us can look at and say, you need to do this. You need to stop nibbling and giving up, you know, dribblers, or you need better D around you if something like that is happening.
I think in general, he's had some unluck with how hard.
Is that a technical term?
Yeah, unluck? There we go. Is it technical? That's one of those things that all of us newspaper
editors. Is that a Dakota thing?
Like to throw. Hey, now, it's Adam Mazur. South Dakota State, former player.
Oh, there, so there we go. Now I know why he's on the list.
There we go. Now
I didn't put any Canadians on.
but in all seriousness, the hard hit rate here is in the blue zone for a guy who's, I mean, barrel rate isn't great, but it's not bad. So he's really not getting, I mean, he's one of those guys, he's an average-ish pitcher. He's a back-of-the-rotation type of pitcher. He's going to give up some contact, and you know that, but for some reason that's getting hit really hard this year, and we don't know exactly what's going on there. But this is all his arsenal breakdown, five pitches, he uses four of them at least 10% of the time, and they're right around 100 stuff plus, you know, right within that range. I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm very interested to see how he responds the rest of the year, because, yeah, he's got the stuff to be a back end guy. He should be able to be that. So, I just got to notice that we are now in a severe thunderstorm warning. So,
woohoo. Interesting.
So, well, if I disappear, it's because lightning struck my house and blew it up. So, I mean, you know, it happens.
But you'll be back next week?
I'll be back next week. Wait a minute.
Location unknown.
It is Memorial Day here. So, you know, if my house blows up with me in it, you know, Memorial Day. Anyway. Da da da. Oh, my goodness. I'm terrible. Horrible. And yeah.
Yeah. That would be a horrific turn.
I love the guy that you have mentioned next year, though.
Yeah, Noah Schultz. Do you guys remember how he was going to come up at some point this year and just take over? He could still potentially come up. It's possible. But people are absolutely, I mean, I know from getting trade offers, people are absolutely looking for the buy low on Noah Schultz, and you should be too. The line looks bad. 2-2 record. I think it was 7 starts. Maybe it's 8, which also just not getting decisions one way or the other is not, you know, it's nice to just see things, whether it's 2-5 or whatever it is. Anyway, 4.50 ERA. But here is where it gets really confusing. 36 innings pitched, 39 Ks. This is a guy who has had much better K to 9, but, you know, double A, that's okay. But 23 walks and a 1.75 whip. He's not hitting his spots with the walks.
His as tall as he is, with the low slot that he has, everyone has always compared him to Randy Johnson because of that.
Yep.
one of the things that made Randy Johnson great when he was great, you know, obviously he came up and he was walking 150 people in a season, but
he was an expo people. He was an expo,
but he, when he became the type of guy that was in the conversation with Pedro and peak Maddox for the best pitcher in the game, it was because he just never walked anyone. And Schultz, the reason why he was getting those comps is because he was pinpoint. And all of a sudden this year is not pinpoint. It's it's really not. And I don't know if there's an injury there. I don't know if what it is, because it's just not looking the way that it has. And even last year when he pitched some in Double A, it looked a lot better than this. So I don't, I guess I'm not 100% sure what's going on here with Noah Schultz. I am a little worried that there's an injury tweak somewhere in there that he's trying to pitch around.
Oh, okay.
Just because it doesn't, watching video side by side, it doesn't look terribly different. So you wonder if he's trying to pitch around something and just doesn't have the same snap on a pitch or the same ability throughout the body, if it's an oblique muscle, if it's a hamstring, if it's a something where he's not finishing the same way he was
right
muscularly, but he's, you know, trying to do all the same motion and all the same stuff. It's just, that means that he's not controlling in the way that he should.
Yeah. I guess challenging him might be part of it. Joe's commenting here. I think he was off figuring out how to make that aioli recipe I put in the live chat. Said he's watched some 24 video. Patient teams made him look bad. He said, spit on the slider. I'm assuming that is American for sit on the slider. Or they were going for him. But yeah, make it go through fastball, which, as we know, you know, they'll hit a bullet, right? Players can hit a bullet if they figure that out at that elite level. So maybe this is the adjustment that Schultz now needs to make. Putting that secondary pitch in the strike zone instead of forcing him down and away and being able to beat him that way and keep him honest.
Or, frankly, developing another secondary pitch. You know, if you got a cutter that's going to be in the zone, but it's going to be off the speed, and you can have folks having to protect against that, and then you've got that nasty sweeping slider from that low arm angle. Yeah, you're going to generate a lot of whiff on pitches outside the zone, but you got to have something that has movement in the zone outside your fastball. That's kind of the tough combination there. So,
yeah. Next man up is a similar situation in the off season where everybody thought, okay, fast riser, good things are happening here. Will we see him at the end of 2025? It's looking less likely now. Jackson Ferris is who I'm talking about. Despite the Dodger arms continuing to go down and they need guys, Ferris has not been excelling. I almost said accelerating. That's like a Canadian thing. He has not been putting his best foot forward in Double A. 5.23 ERA in 7 starts, 31 innings, 37 Ks. What's that whip? 1.52. And Schultz's whip, I think, was 1.75. So the results from, and 14 walks, that was my other knock on him here. The results are not ideal, but they're not in a rush to bring him up either. But I know there was a lot of talk about it. So I don't want to dive too deep in on Ferris, but he was, I think, an arm to note for people who thought perhaps he could be coming up as a 21, 22 year old. It's not.
The thing I really like still is that home run rate is almost nothing. So that's
ball stays in park.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just getting hit a lot.
Even when he's struggling, he's not letting the ball leave the park, which that's at least impressive. But yes, for a guy who's over his career been about about 5.5 to 6.5 hits per nine guy, he's now allowing him 9.5.
Right.
There's, you know, you wonder if it's bad luck that's kind of compounded to start this year and things are going to even out, but we'll, It'll be fun to watch the rest of the year with him because, like I said, he's still not allowing home runs. Mm-hmm. Walk rate isn't crap. It's pretty much what he's been doing before. So you almost have to think that there's some luck involved here.
And people get nervous, Ben, with pitchers who don't look the same the next year, right? They everybody's mm-hmm. always got to take that step up.
Oh,
and if the stat line doesn't look great, there's a reason why. So what is
it up
finding here? Yeah.
386 BABIP this year.
Okay. So it is luck related, and not, as Ben originally thought, an ugly girlfriend situation. So
well,
that's good.
We don't know.
Next guy up, I think, must have an ugly girlfriend because we are seeing some wonky things happening. Oh. The MLB career started and ended quickly for Thomas Harrington with Pittsburgh. And this was supposed to be, and we talked about it, I think, before he came up. I feel like we were within range here on what was going on with Harrington. This is supposed to be Mr. Control guy. Mm-hmm. With Pittsburgh, of course, is who I'm talking about. Bubba Chandler's the one everybody's talking about. Harrington was the guy, the first one to get a crack at MLB time, and it was ugly. Very Carlos Rodriguez of 24, if you remember the Brewers prospect, who we've talked about enough, so we won't do that tonight.
Three home runs and five walks in eight innings for a control.
For a control pitcher. that's a bit outside.
Not what you're looking for.
Yeah, so his stock is down.
But he got a save? Wait a minute.
When?
He got a save? Two games in the major league level, and one of them he came out of the bullpen and got a save?
Really?
I 100% do not remember that.
Yeah. Well, maybe that was like the crazy Marlins-Cubs game tonight.
Four-inning save. There we go. Okay. He came in for gave up three runs, two home runs, and he got a four-inning save.
Oh, all right. God. It's a stat. I guess it's a stat. So, but yeah, Harrington, there's a ton of value there. This is definitely like now a tarnished prospect, to say it in a nice way. He has not come up and succeeded and then been sent back down. A la McAbel, he has come up and done poorly and has went back down. But the organization, clearly, as we mentioned the rotation earlier, has space that should be made available mm-hmm. if Harrington can settle in. So we could and should see him later this year. But Ben, are you thinking this is somebody to go and acquire? If you're redrafting, are you interested in him? I mean, Dynasty, we all want, you know, prospect guys of this ilk. But what do you think about Harrington?
My biggest concern here is he came back down to the minors. He started the season in the majors, came back down to the minors April 13th, came out of the bullpen, two innings, no walks, three strikeouts. Okay, that's all well and good. Every single appearance since, he's had at least one walk for a guy who is a high control guy. That concerns me. And, you know, the home runs, he's had one game where he allowed three, one game where he allowed two. That's the type of stuff he is. He's the type of guy that he's going to – if you would have had me bet on his profile, he was going to be the type of guy that at the end of the season would have allowed 25 home runs and only had 25 walks over the course of a full season of pitching in the major league level, you know, 175 innings and only 25 walks, but he also allowed 25 home runs. That's – yeah, I'm really right now the walk stuff worries me. And I don't know, you know, with a guy like Bubba Chandler coming up, with Hunter Barco, who is also, he jumped up to AAA and he is pitching very, very well. I kind of wonder if Harrington might get lost in the shuffle here a bit. But
it happens. It might be injury related for him to get that legitimate shot, right?
You never know, though, because for all we know, maybe Pittsburgh just blows up they just blow up things at the end of the end of July. And all they've That's got the left dream. Is Skeens and Bubba Chandler and Thomas right. Harrington and Hunter Barco, you know, and they're just going to bring up all these guys that are in AA, AAA and are potentially next, you know, the next man up type of arms, and they're going to let him come up and be that guy for the 3 months.
I think if you do that, you need the swing men in your bullpen to be able to really help you out to draw that for the days that it doesn't go well, when they don't have their A stuff. That would, I mean, I'd love to see it. We'd love, you know, we're all for that.
Guys, yeah.
Yeah. We're all for that. Bring them up and let them see what they can do. But yeah, so Harrington is certainly a buy. And then this next guy, I understand he doesn't have the ugliest looking stat line. I'll go with his stat line before I say his name, because he's only 12% rostered in Fantrax. So I felt it was okay to put him on here, Ben, but you tell me if I shouldn't have. 8 games this year. He's got a 3.44 ERA. Obviously that's fine. 36 and 2/3 innings pitched. He's got 35 strikeouts. He has 12 walks. He does have a 1.69 whip, which is not great. Tons of hits. He gives up tons of hits. 50 hits in 36 and 2/3 innings. He has against him a 333 average, which is the worst in the International League AAA. This is the fourth round pick in 2022 by the Minnesota Twins. It's Andrew Morris. And I think that there is a lot there for people to like and to go and get for him. I was even looking on the Prospect Savant page, and the walk rate is red, and everything else doesn't look so great after that.
Yeah, I was trying to pull it up. I was just, for some reason, Fangraphs doesn't like me right now. Fangraphs, I was looking at that earlier today, and Morris has got one of the biggest discrepancies in AAA between his FIP and his ERA. So it made you think that actually under the, even though his ERA doesn't look so bad, that it actually should be a lot worse based on the other numbers he has, which is what you brought up here. That's why I didn't include him, just because somehow he's making it work. But the other end of things is, you know, the Twins have a lot of options. You know, they just sent Simeon Woods Richardson down.
Yeah.
They've got David Festa still in AAA. They brought up Zebby Matthews. He's been, but Andrew Morris, in order to push his way past those guys, has got to do what he does well, which Andrew Morris really fits the old Minnesota Twins development, in that low 90s guy who can just spot the crap out of a baseball and lives off of that, and a really good changeup and about 5 different shapes on his breaking pitches.
That's so it looks like they've given him 6 pitches, right?
Yeah. The Twins used to develop guys like this in bunches, and now they're actually developing legit hard throwing arms. So that's a little different, but Morris is a guy, I mean, this is a back end guy that could work very well if he can locate the stinking ball. And that's been the whole issue, is he's locating it in the zone, but he's also locating it in the zone and apparently is not doing a whole lot to keep hitters off of it. So,
yeah. So that's the adjustment. You know, be more better, as they technically say. But I think Morris is an interesting buy, because he was supposed to be somewhat of a, like, he could be in the rotation or in the rotation mix to start the year. He's still in the position to kick around a bit, but if anybody's looking like we just did, it doesn't look great. But we know that he was pitching really well last year, and he got called up to AAA, I feel like, at the end of last year. Like, he was later in the year promotion to AAA, because he had been doing well AA. So this is probably just part of that adjustment to AAA. More experienced pitchers, more experienced hitters. You have the Abraham Toros of the world who start the year in AAA, which are MLBers who just aren't good enough in the show, but are very good in AAA. And maybe you end up, you know, a couple weekends or week series against those guys, and you know, they're showing you a thing or two about how you need to pitch to them, as much as you're just trying to figure it out for yourself. So he's getting hit, but we'll see. Last guy to talk about, Ben, this isn't an arm, this is a bat, but he's back. It's the Shaw man with the Cubs. Let's see the line here tonight. I left it to go look at how my Mariners were doing. I just can't quit them. Actually, I wanted to see the White Sox. I wanted to see what happened with the pitching for the White Sox, because for some reason, Davis Martin, 7 1/3. Seven and a third innings.
Solid for him.
Oh, man.
Shaw hit at the very bottom of the lineup.
Yeah, I saw he was ninth. Good
that
spot.
That stinking Miguel Amaya. He just took away all of his fun. Miguel Amaya with a three-run dinger in front of him and another couple of RBI. So, you know, just took away all of his chances. But, no, Shaw went 2-for-4 tonight with a double. So that's solid strikeout and a ribby. Brings his 2-for-4 performance tonight, brings his season average up to 194. So he's still got a lot of work to go to make the season numbers look good. But, yeah, this is much better. Also, just, you know, we talked about earlier the trade offer. Pete Crow Armstrong in this game went 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts. So, you know.
He's done. This reminds me of, I saw the line, or not the line, the clip yesterday.
Oh.
I think it was to the date of, it was like, whatever it was, 3-4 years ago today. This at-bat ended Yermin Mercedes' career. You know, it was the home run he hit in the Twins off of Astudillo. And I'm like, I remember that. I remember everybody being like, why is he swinging 3-0 against a position player and all that stuff? And it was so true. So true. I remember the hype around that year and how, like, Mercedes is for real and everybody this. And anybody who happened to have had him was like, yeah, they struck gold. And he just bottomed out so hard. Oh, my goodness.
Shaw also had a steal today.
Oh, did he really? Hey, great.
That's what I mean. He's not a guy you should ever expect to be a big steal guy, but he certainly can steal 10. And so to get one, that's his first one of the year. So at least it kind of gets him off the schneid for that. But
and we were talking earlier about somebody making adjustments. I can't remember the hitter, Colson, is that right? Montgomery, who we started with? Yeah. So he started with him. So Shaw in AAA, I guess, went down and they said, don't change your in-game swing, but we're going to work on your leg kick. And I guess initially the idea was the leg kick is going to, obviously a leg kick is for timing, but timing and transition of your movement when you are swinging through the zone and power transfer, et cetera. But it wasn't working for him at the MLB level. And they brought him back and said, we're going to work on it. We're going to shorten it up a little bit. We don't want you to yet put it into your game, but we're going to practice that way. And then you're going to play how you like to play. Well, he was hitting so well that it didn't seem like it was a great idea for him to do it. And then whatever report it was I read, they had written that he implemented it over the weekend series and then hit, I think it was 2 home runs or 4 home runs in 2 games or whatever the heck it was. And they're like, so it's working. And I'm like, well, he was also hitting better before because, you know, he was around at all these MLBers and trying to be one of the guys and all this, and then went back to AAA and, you know, got his legs under him. But sure. Yeah. It was also that change that the hitting team made. But I know when you try something in practice and you don't bring it into the game, it's in your head. So credit to Shaw for being able to make that adjustment that the coaching staff wanted him to do, in spite of the fact that he may not have been looking to do it himself and just taking that coaching. And now he's up in the show and it's great to see that he's had positive results night one, the second time around.
And just because we're talking about that game with Xavier Edwards out, Otto Lopez did play at second and Sanoa actually got the start at short.
This was Miami, right? This is what you're talking about?
Yes.
Miami. And he played... Lopez batted like fourth or something ridiculous like that. Third or fourth in the lineup.
Well, and Jesus Sanchez led off.
Yeah.
Which normally it's like, what the heck? But had a triple, a home run, and then a walk-off double. Technically it was a double, but it only got recorded as a single because, you know, runs scored.
That's all they needed.
So he, hell of a game. 3-for-5, 4 RBI, won the game for him, you know? That's not your typical leadoff guy.
Credit to the Rule 5 pick of Miami here. Liam Hicks, there we go. I couldn't remember his first name for some reason. Liam Hicks, who has turned it on the last week. He has been getting some inconsistent playing time. I'm just looking here. Before the midpoint of May, dating back to the 25th of April, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, only in 7 games over that period. But 17th, 18th, and 19th, he's been an everydayer, DHing tonight, and producing. He's had 5 hits and 12 at bats, triple home run in that time, 3 RBIs. And his average or his line is 280, 348, 500 right now, which is in shielded at bats, 80, 82 at bats. Yeah. But a Rule 5 pick found money from Detroit, who had that catcher system on lockdown. And Hicks has been able to make some noise with the Angels so far.
He's making it difficult to keep Augustin Ramirez in the lineup. Of course, Ramirez then goes deep tonight, too. But he was 1-for-4 with a home run. But, you know, I wrote up this last week, Joe Mack is playing very, very well and is by far a superior defender to Augustin Ramirez or Liam Hicks. It's going to be really fun to figure out who's going to play behind the plate here pretty soon in Miami. What a good problem for them to actually have potential production from hitters at the major league level to the point where they have to decide who's going to actually play.
Yeah, because they had Stallings after, I forget what the trade was, but they gave up, I feel like it was like a couple of guys when they got Stallings from the Pirates. And the Pirates is where Stallings had some decent offense. And he went to Miami and was very poor offensively. Yeah. And then ended up in Colorado last year where he was better. And this year he's been equally as horrible or probably even worse than when he was with Miami. But yeah, good news for them. But you know it's the end of the show when we're talking catchers, Ben. So this has gone on way too long.
Here's your trade, which actually didn't turn out so bad for the...
Oh, the Stallings trade?
For Pirates, yeah. Connor Scott, who was a kind of a big draft pick at one point, Kyle Nicholas, and Zach Thompson. Kyle Nicholas and Zach Thompson have kicked around the league still for a while here, but never really turned into the guys that anyone thought they would be. And Connor Scott never turned into that guy. So actually not such a bad trade for the Marlins.
And Miami got a starting catcher.
Yeah.
Right. That was their need was the starting catcher. So, and I'm sure he was going to make $2.5 million. So Pittsburgh was out on that. We need
exactly right. Actually 2.45 million.
Oh, was it really? Oh, geez. I hate that.
You're actually spot on.
Oh man.
It's actually spot on.
Anyway, well, Ben, we had talked about possibly coming back next week with like an AMA, throw us questions and things like that. So I think we can make that the Memorial Day plan. It'll could potentially be a short show if you're not putting those questions in. So you can find us at the Discord for Palazzo Podcast, 2Ls, 2Zs. And then, of course, you can always jump in the chat. We'll make sure we schedule it ahead of time so that you know to drop in the chat and throw the questions at us. And we'll do maybe an abbreviated news and notes and just get to some questions. And then everybody can enjoy whatever you guys do in America. Celebrate something. Go ahead.
If it's Memorial Day, we are remembering fallen soldiers. So it's not exactly,
it's still a party. I know that much.
It's a barbecue. That's what it's all about. So anyway, that's all I got. I think that's it.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for showing up.
Yeah. Appreciate you. Catch you on the next one. Flippity skibbity scat.
The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.